Tamlin's gaze shifted, but down. To the ring on my finger.
To the tattoo adorning my right hand, flowing beneath the glittering pale blue sleeve of my gown.
Then it rose, right to that crown I'd picked for myself. I didn't know what to say, what to do with my body, my breathing. No more masks, no more lies and deceptions. The truth, now sprawled bare and open before him. What I'd done in my rage, the lies I'd fed him, the people and land I'd laid vulnerable to Highburn. And now that I'd returned to my family, my mate. My molten wrath had cooled into something sharp-edged and brittle. The attendants hauled over a chair, setting it between one of Baron's sons and Helion's entourage. Neither looked thrilled about it, though they weren't stupid enough to physically recoil as Tamlin sat. He said nothing. Not a word. Helion waved a scar-flecked hand.
Let's get on with it, then.
Theisen cleared his throat. No one looked toward him. Not as Tamlin surveyed the hand Rhys had resting on my sparkling knee. The loathing in Tamlin's eyes practically simmered. No one, not even Amarantha, had ever looked at me with such hatred. No. Amarantha hadn't really known me. Her loathing had been superficial, driven from a personal history that poisoned everything. Tamlin. Tamlin knew me, and now hated every inch of what I was. He opened his mouth, and I braced myself.
It would seem congratulations are in order.
The words were flat. Flat and yet sharp as his claws, currently hidden beneath his golden skin. I said nothing. Rhys only held Tamlin's stare, held it with a face like ice, and yet utter rage roiled beneath it. Cataclysmic rage, surging and writhing down the bond between us. But my mate addressed Theisen, who had reclaimed his seat, yet seemed far from any sort of ease.
We can discuss the matter at hand later.
Tamlin said calmly,
Don't stop on my account.
The light in Rhysand's eyes guttered, as if a hand of darkness wiped away those stars. But he reclined in his chair, withdrawing his hand from my knee to trace idle circles on his seat's wooden arm.
I'm not in the business of discussing our plans with enemies.
Helion, across the reflection pool, grinned like a lion.
No, Tamlin said with equal ease. You're just in the business of fucking them.
Every thought and sound eddied out of my head. Cassian, Azrael, and more were still as death, their fury rippling off them in silent waves. But whether Tamlin noticed or cared that three of the deadliest people in this room were currently contemplating his demise, he didn't let on. Rhys shrugged, smiling faintly.
Seems a far less destructive alternative to war. And yet here you are, having started it in the first place.
Rhysand's blink was the only sign of his confusion. A claw slid out of Tamlin's knuckle. Kalias tensed, a hand drifting to the arm of Vivian's chair, as if he'd throw himself in front of it. But Tamlin only dragged that claw lightly down the carved arm of his own chair, as he'd once dragged them down my skin. He smiled as if he knew precisely what memory it triggered, but said to my mate,
If you hadn't stolen my bride away in the night, Rhysand, I wouldn't have been forced to take such drastic measures to get her back.
I said quietly, The sun was shining when I left you. Those green eyes slid to me, glazed and foreign. He let out a low snort, then looked away again. Dismissal. Kalias asked, Why are you here, Tamlin? Tamlin's claw dug into the wood,
puncturing deep, even as his voice remained mild. I had no doubt that gesture was meant for me, too. I bartered access to my lands to get back the woman I love from a sadist who plays with minds as if they're toys. I meant to fight Highburn, to find a way around the bargain I made with the king once she was back. Only Rhysand and his cabal had turned her into one of them, and she delighted in ripping open my territory for Highburn to invade, all for a petty grudge, either her own or her master's. You don't get to rewrite the narrative, I breathed. You don't get to spin this to your advantage. Tamlin only angled his head at Rhys. When you fuck her, have you ever noticed that little noise she makes right before she climaxes? Heat stained my cheeks. This wasn't outright battle, but a steady, careful shredding of my dignity, my credibility. Baron beamed, delighted, while Eris carefully monitored. Rhys turned his head, looking me over from head to toe, then back to Tamlin, a storm about to be unleashed. But it was Asriel who said, his voice like cold death, "Be careful how you speak about my high lady." Surprise flashed in Tamlin's eyes, then vanished. Vanished, swallowed by pure fury, as he realized what that tattoo coating my hand was for. It was not enough to sit at my side, was it? A hateful smile curled his lips. You once asked me if you'd be my high lady, and when I said no... A low laugh. Perhaps I underestimated you. Why serve in my court when you could rule in his? Tamlin at last faced the other gathered High Lords and their retinues. They peddle tales of defending our land in peace, and yet she came to my lands and laid them bare for Highburn. She took my High Priestess and warped her mind, after she shattered her bones for spite. And if you're asking yourself what happened to that human girl who went under the mountain to save us, look to the male sitting beside her. Ask what he stands to gain. What they stand to gain from this war, or lack of it. Would we fight Highburn, only to find ourselves with the queen and king of Prithian? She's proved her ambition, and you saw how he was more than happy to serve Amarantha to remain unscathed. It was an effort not to snarl, not to grip the arms of my chair and roar at him. Rhys let out a dark laugh.
Well played, Tamlin. You're learning.
Ire contorted Tamlin's face at the condescension, but he faced Kalias. You asked why I'm here? I might ask the same of you. He jerked his chin at the High Lord of Winter, at Vivian, the few other members of their retinue who had remained silent. You mean to tell me that after Under the Mountain, you can stomach working with him? A finger flung in Rhysand's direction. I wanted to rip that finger right off Tamlin's hand and feed it to the Midengard worm. The silvery glow about Kalias dulled. Even Vivian seemed to dim.
We came here to decide that for ourselves.
Moore was staring at her friend in quiet question. Vivian, for the first time since we'd arrived, did not look toward her, only at her mate. Rhys said softly to them, to everyone.
I had no involvement in that. None.
Kalias's eyes flared like blue flame.
You stood beside her throne while the order was given.
I watched, stomach twisting, as Rhys's golden skin paled.
I tried to stop it.
Tell that to the parents of the 24 younglings she butchered,
Kalias said.
That you tried.
I had forgotten. Forgotten that bit of Amarantha's despicable history. It had happened while I was still at the Spring Court. A report one of Lucian's contacts at the Winter Court managed to smuggle out. Of 24 children killed by the Blight. By Amarantha. Rhys's mouth tightened.
There is not one day that passes when I don't remember it.
He said to Callias, to Vivian, to their companions.
Not one day.
I hadn't known. He had told me once, all those months ago, that there were memories he could not bring himself to share, even with me. I had assumed it was only in regard to what Amarantha had done to him, not what he might have been forced to witness, too, forced to endure, bound and trapped, and standing by, leashed to Amarantha while she ordered the murder of those children.
Remembering, Callia said, doesn't bring them back, does it?
No, Rhys said plainly. No, it doesn't. And I'm now fighting to make sure it never happens again.
Vivian glanced between her husband and Rhys. I was not present under the mountain, but I would hear, High Lord, how you tried to stop her. Pain tightened her face. She, too, had been unable to prevent it while she guarded her small slice of the territory. Rhys said nothing. Baron snorted.
Finally speechless, Rhysand?
I put a hand on Rhys's arm. I had no doubt Tamlin marked it, and I didn't care. I said to my mate, not bothering to keep my voice down, I believe you.
Says the woman,
Baron countered,
who gave an innocent girl's name in her stead, for Amarantha to butcher as well.
I blocked out the words, the memory of Claire. Rhys swallowed. I tightened my grip on his arm. His voice was rough as he said to Callias,
when your people rebelled.
They had, I recalled. Winter had rebelled against Amarantha. And the children? That had been Amarantha's answer. Her punishment for the disobedience.
She was furious. She wanted you dead, Callias.
Vivian's face drained of color. Rhys went on.
I convinced her that it would serve little purpose. Who knew, Baron mused, that a cock could be so persuasive?
Father,
Eris's voice was low with warning. For Cassian, Asriel, Mor, and I had fixed our gazes upon Baron, and none of us were smiling. Perhaps Eris would be High Lord sooner than he planned. But Rhys went on to Callias.
She backed off the idea of killing you. Your rebels were dead. I convinced her it was enough. I thought it was the end of it.
His breathing hitched slightly.
I only found out when you did. I think she viewed my defense of you as a warning sign. She didn't tell me any of it. And she kept me confined. I tried to break into the minds of the soldiers she sent, but her damper on my power was too strong to hold them, and it was already done.
She sent a Demati with them, to...
He faltered. The children's minds, they'd been shattered. Rhys swallowed.
I think she wanted you to suspect me. To keep us from ever allying against her.
What he must have witnessed within those soldiers' minds.
Where did she confine you?
The question came from Vivian, her arms wrapped around her middle. I wasn't entirely ready for it when Rhys said,
her bedroom.
My friends did not hide their rage, their grief at the details he'd kept even from them.
Stories and words,
Tamlin said, lounging in his chair.
Is there any proof? Proof?
Cassian snarled, half rising in his seat, wings starting to flare.
No.
Rhys cut in as Mor blocked Cassian with an arm, forcing him to sit. Rhys added to Callias,
but I swear it. Upon my mate's life.
His hand at last rested atop mine. For the first time since I'd known him, Rhys's skin was clammy. I reached down the bond, even as Rhys held Callias's stare. I didn't have any words, only myself, only my soul, as I curled up against his towering shields of black adamant.
He'd known what coming here, presented just as we were, would cost him. What he might have to reveal beyond the wings he loved so dearly.
Tamlin rolled his eyes. It took every scrap of restraint to keep me from lunging for him, from ripping out those eyes. But whatever Callias read in Rhys's face, his words. He pinned Tamlin with a hard stare as he asked again,
"Why are you here, Tamlin?"
A muscle flickered in Tamlin's jaw.
"I am here to help you fight against Hybern."
"Bullshit," Cassian muttered.
Tamlin glowered at him, Cassian, folding his wings in neatly as he leaned back in his chair once more, just offered a crooked grin in return.
"You will forgive us," Thiessen interrupted gracefully, "if we are doubtful and hesitant to share any plans."
"Even when I have information on Hybern's movements?"
Silence. Tarquin, across the pool, watched and listened. Either because he was the youngest of them, or perhaps he knew some advantage lay in letting us battle it out ourselves. Tamlin smiled at me.
"Why do you think I invited them to the house? Into my lands?"
He let out a low snarl, and I felt Rhys tensing as Tamlin said to me,
"I once told you I would fight against tyranny, against that sort of evil. Did you think you were enough to turn me from that?"
His teeth shone white as bone.
"It was so easy for you to call me a monster, despite all I did for you, for your family."
A sneer toward Nesta, who was frowning with distaste.
"Yet you witnessed all that he did under the mountain, and still spread your legs for him.
Fitting, I suppose. He whored for Amarantha for decades. Why shouldn't you be his whore in return?"
"Watch your mouth,"
Moore snapped. I was having difficulty swallowing, breathing. Tamlin ignored her wholly and waved a hand toward Rhysand's wings.
"I sometimes forget what you are. Have the masks come off now, or is this another ploy?"
"You're beginning to become tedious, Tamlin," Helion said, propping his head on a hand.
"Take your lover spat elsewhere, and let the rest of us discuss this war. You'd be all too happy for war, considering how well you made out in the last one."
"No one says war can't be lucrative," Helion countered.
Tamlin's lip curled in a silent snarl that made me wonder if he'd gone to Helion to break my bargain with Rhys, if Helion had refused.
"Enough," Callias said. "We have our opinions on how the conflict with Hybern should be dealt with."
Those glacial eyes hardened as he again took in Tamlin.
"Are you here as an ally of Hybern or Prithian?"
The mocking, hateful gleam faded into granite resolve.
"I stand against Hybern."
"Prove it,"
Helion goaded. Tamlin lifted his hand and a stack of papers appeared on the little table beside his chair.
"Charts of armies, ammunition, caches of Fabane. Everything carefully gleaned these months."
All of this directed at me, as I refused to so much as lower my chin. My back ached from keeping it so straight, a twinge of pain flanking either side of my spine.
"Noble as it sounds,"
Helion went on,
"who is to say that information is correct, or that you aren't Hybern's agent, trying to mislead us?"
"Who is to say that Rhysand and his cronies are not agents of Hybern? All of this a ruse to get you to yield without realizing it."
Nesta murmured,
"You can't be serious."
Moore gave my sister a look as if to say that he certainly was.
"If we need to ally against Hybern,"
Thiessen said,
"you are doing a good job of convincing us not to band together, Tamlin."
"I am simply warning you that they might present the guise of honesty and friendship,
But the fact remains that he warmed Amarantha's bed for 50 years, and only worked against her when it seemed the tide was turning. I'm warning you that while he claims his own city was attacked by Hybern, they made off remarkably well, as if they'd been anticipating it. Don't think he wouldn't sacrifice a few buildings and lesser fairies to lure you into an alliance, into thinking you had a common enemy.
Why is it that only the Night Court got word about the attack on Adriata, and were the only ones to arrive in time to play savior?
They received word, Varian cut in coolly, because I warned them of it.
Tarquin whipped his head to his cousin, brows high with surprise.
Perhaps you are working with them too,
Tamlin said to the Prince of Adriata.
You're next in line, after all. You're insane, I breathed to Tamlin as Varian bared his teeth. Do you hear what you're saying?
I pointed toward Nesta.
Hybern turned my sisters into fey, after your bitch of a priestess sold them out. Perhaps Ianthe's mind was already in Rhysand's thrall. And what a tragedy to remain young and beautiful. You're a good actress. I'm sure the trait runs in the family.
Nesta let out a low laugh.
If you want someone to blame for all of this, she said to Tamlin, perhaps you should first look in the mirror.
Tamlin snarled at her.
Cassian snarled right back. Watch it.
Tamlin looked between my sister and Cassian, his gaze lingering on Cassian's wings tucked in behind him. Snorted.
Seems like other preferences run in the Archeron family, too.
My power began to rumble, a behemoth rising up, yawning awake.
What do you want? I hissed. An apology? For me to crawl back into your bed and play nice little wife? Why should I want spoiled goods returned to me?
My cheeks heated.
Tamlin growled. The moment you let him fuck you like an Ann.
One heartbeat, the poisoned words were spewing from his mouth, where fangs lengthened. Then they stopped. Tamlin's mouth simply stopped emitting sounds. He shut his mouth, opened it, tried again. No sound. Not even a snarl came out. There was no smile on Rhysand's face. Not a glint of that irreverent amusement as he rested his head against the back of his chair.
The gasping fish look is a good one for you, Tamlin.
The others, who had been watching with disdain and amusement and boredom, now turned to my mate. Now possessed a shadow of fear in their eyes, as they realized who and what exactly sat amongst them. Brethren, and yet not. Tamlin was a High Lord, as powerful as any of them, except for the one at my side. Rhys was different from them, as humans were to Fae. They forgot it sometimes, how deep that well of power went, what manner of power Rhys bore. But as Rhysand ripped away Tamlin's ability to speak, they remembered.
Chapter 45. Only my friends didn't seem surprised. Tamlin's eyes were green flame, golden light flickering around him as his magic sought to wrestle free from Rhysand's control, as he tried and tried to speak.
If you want proof that we're not scheming with Hybern, Rhysand said blandly to them all, consider the fact that it would be far less time-consuming to slice into your minds and make you do my bidding.
Only Baron was stupid enough to scoff. Eris was just angling his body in his chair, blocking the path to his mother.
Yet here I am,
Rhysand went on, not deigning to give Baron a glance of acknowledgement.
Here we all are.
Absolute silence. Then Tarquin, silent and watchful, cleared his throat. I waited for it, for the blow that would surely doom us. We were thieves who had deceived him,
We had come into his house in peace and stolen from him, had ripped into their minds to ensure our success. But Tarquin said to me, to Rhysand,
despite Varian's unsanctioned warning,
a glare at his cousin, who didn't so much as look sorry about it,
you were the only ones who came to help. The only ones. And yet you asked for nothing in return. Why?
Rhys's voice was a bit hoarse as he asked,
isn't that what friends do?
A subtle, quiet offer. Tarquin took him in, then me, and the others.
I rescind the blood rubies. Let there be no debts between us.
Don't expect Amryn to return hers,
Cassian muttered.
She's grown attached to it.
I could have sworn a smile tugged on Varian's mouth, but Rhys faced Tamlin, whose own mouth remained shut, his eyes still livid. And my mate said to him,
I believe you, that you will fight for Prithian.
Kallias didn't appear so convinced. Neither did Helion. Rhys loosened his grasp on Tamlin's voice. I only knew because a low snarl slipped from him. But Tamlin made no move to attack. To even speak.
War is upon us, Rhysand declared. I have no interest in wasting energy arguing amongst ourselves.
The better man. Male.
His restraint. His choice of words. All of it a careful portrayal of reason and power. But Rhysand. I knew he meant what he said. Even if Tamlin had been a part of killing his own family, even if he had played his part in Highburn, for our home, for Prithian, he'd set it aside. A sacrifice that would harm no one but his own soul. But Baron said,
you may be inclined to believe him, Rhysand, but as someone who shares a border with his court, I am not so easily swayed.
A wry look.
Perhaps my errant son can clarify. Pray, where is he?
Even Tamlin looked toward us, toward me. Helping to guard our city, was all I said. Not a lie, not entirely. Eris snorted and surveyed Nesta, who stared back at him with steel in her face.
Pity you didn't bring the other sister. I hear our little brother's mate is quite the beauty.
If they knew Elaine was Lucian's mate. It was now another avenue, I realized, with no small amount of horror. Another way to strike at the youngest brother they hated so fiercely, so unreasonably. Eris's bargain with us had not included protection of Lucian. My mouth went dry. But Moore replied smoothly,
you still certainly like to hear yourself talk, Eris. Good to know some things don't change over the centuries.
Eris's mouth curled into a smile at the words, the careful game of pretending that they had not seen each other in years.
Good to know that after 500 years, you still dress like a slut.
One moment, Asriel was seated. The next? He'd blasted through Eris's shield with a flare of blue light and tackled him backward, wood shattering beneath them.
Shit,
Cassian spat, and was instantly there, and met a wall of blue. Asriel had sealed them in, and as his scarred hands wrapped around Eris's throat, Rhys said,
enough.
Asriel squeezed, Eris thrashing beneath him, no physical brawling. There had been a rule against that. But Asriel, with whatever power those shadows gave him.
Enough, Asriel,
Rhys ordered. Perhaps those shadows that now slid and eddied around the Shadow Singer hid him from the wrath of the binding magic. The others made no move to interfere, as if wondering the same. Asriel dug his knee and all his weight into Eris's gut. He was silent, utterly silent as he ripped the air from Eris's body. Baron's flames struck the blue shield over and over,
but the fire skittered off and fizzled out on the water. Any that escaped were torn to shreds by shadows.
"Call off your overgrown bat,"
Baron ordered Rhys.
Rhys was enjoying it, bargain with Eris or no. Could have ended it seconds ago. He gave me a glance as if to say so, and an invitation. I rose on surprisingly steady knees, felt all of them tense. Tamlin's gaze like a brand as I walked toward the Shadow Singer, my sparkling gown hissing along the floor behind me. As I put a tattooed hand on the hard, near-invisible curve of the shield and said, "Come, Azrael." Azrael stopped. Eris gasped for air as those scarred hands loosened. As Azrael turned his face toward me, the frozen rage there rooted me to the spot. But beneath it, I could almost see the images that haunted him. The hand Moore had yanked away, her weeping, distraught face as she had screamed at Rhys. And now, behind us, Moore was shaking in her chair, pale and shaking. I only offered my hand to Azrael. "Come, sit beside me." Nesta had already moved her seat, and an extra chair appeared beside mine. I didn't let my hand tremble as I kept it extended, and waited. Azrael's eyes slid to Eris, the High Lord's son panting beneath him. And the Shadow Singer leaned down to whisper something in his ear that made Eris blanch further. But the shield dropped. The shadows lightened into sunshine. Baron struck, only for his fire to bounce off a hard barrier of my own. I lifted my gaze to the High Lord of Autumn. "That's twice now we've handed you your asses. I'd think you'd be sick of the humiliation." Halion laughed, but my attention returned to Azrael, who took my still-offered hand and rose. The scars were rough against my fingers, but his skin was like ice. Pure ice. Moore opened her mouth to say something to Azrael, but Cassian put a hand on her bare knee and shook his head. I led the Shadow Singer to the empty chair beside mine, then walked to the table myself to pour him a glass of wine. No one spoke until I offered it to him and sat down. "They are my family," I said at the raised brows I received for my waiting on him. Tamlin just shook his head in disgust, and finally slid that claw back into his hand. But I met Eris's fuming gaze, my voice as cold as Azrael's face as I said, "I don't care if we were allies in this war. If you insult my friend again, I won't stop him the next time." Only Eris knew how far that alliance went. Information that could damn this meeting if either side revealed it. Information that could get him wiped off the earth by his father. Moore was staring and staring at Azrael, who refused to look at her, who refused to do anything but give Eris that death gaze. Eris wisely averted his eyes and said, "Apologies, Morgan." His father actually gawked at the words, but something like approval shone on the Lady of Autumn's face as her eldest son settled himself once more. Thiessen rubbed his temples. "This does not bode well." But Helion smirked at his retinue, crossing an ankle over a knee and flashing those powerful, sleek thighs. "Looks like you owe me 10 gold marks." It seemed like we weren't the only ones who'd placed bets, even if not one of Helion's entourage answered his mocking smile with one of their own. Helion waved a hand, and the stacks of papers Tamlin had compiled drifted over to him on a phantom wind. With a snap of his fingers, scar-flecked from swordplay, other stacks appeared before every chair in the room, including my own. "Replicas," he said without looking up as he leafed through the documents. A handy trick for a male whose trove was not in gold, but in knowledge. No one made any move to touch the papers before us. Helion clicked his tongue.
"If all of this is true," he announced,
Tamlin snarling at the haughty tone.
Then I'd suggest two things. First, destroying Highburn's caches of Feybane. We won't last long if they've made them into so many versatile weapons. It's worth the risk to destroy them.
Kalias arched a brow.
How would you suggest we do that?
We'll handle it, Tarquin offered.
Varian nodded.
We owe them for Adriata,
Theson said.
There is no need.
We all blinked at him, even Tamlin. The High Lord of Dawn just folded his hands in his lap.
A master tinkerer of mine has been waiting for the past several hours. I would like for her to now join us.
Before anyone could reply, a high fey female appeared at the edge of the circle. She bowed so quickly that I barely glimpsed more than her light brown skin and long silken black hair. She wore clothes similar to Theson's, and yet... Her sleeves had been rolled up to the forearms, the tunic unbuttoned to her chest, and her hand. I guessed who she was before she rose. Her right hand was solid gold, mechanical, the way Lucian's was. It clicked and whirred quietly, drawing the eye of every immortal in the room as she faced her High Lord. Theson smiled in warm welcome. But her face... I wondered if Amryn had modeled her own features after a similar bloodline when she'd bound herself into her fey body. The sharp chin, round cheeks, and stunning up-tilted eyes. But where Amryn's were that unholy silver, this female's were dark as onyx. And aware, utterly aware of us gawking at her hand, her arrival, as she said to Theson, "My lord." Theson gestured to the female standing tall before the assembled group.
"Nuan is one of my most skilled craftspeople."
Rhys leaned back in his seat, brows rising with recognition at the name, and jerked his chin to Baron, to Eris.
"You might know her as the person responsible for granting your errant son, as you called him, the ability to use his left eye after Amarantha removed it."
Nuan nodded once in confirmation, her lips pressing into a thin line as she took in Lucian's family. She didn't so much as turn in Tamlin's direction, and he certainly didn't bother to acknowledge her, regardless of the past binding them, their mutual friend.
"And what has this to do with the Feybane?"
Helion demanded. Theson's lover seethed at the High Lord of Day's tone, but one glance from Theson had the male relaxing. Nuan turned, her dark hair slipping over a shoulder as she studied Helion, and did not seem impressed. "Because I found a solution for it." Theson waved a hand.
"We heard rumors of Feybane being used in this war. Used in the attack on your city, Resand. We thought to look into the issue before it became a deadly weakness for all of us."
He nodded to Nuan.
"Beyond her unparalleled tinkering, she is a skilled alchemist."
Nuan crossed her arms, the sun glinting off her metal hand. "Thanks to samples attained after the attack in Valaris, I was able to create an antidote of sorts."
"How did you get those samples?"
Cassian demanded. A flush crept over Nuan's cheeks.
"I... heard the rumors and assumed Lucian Vansera would be residing there after... what happened?"
She still didn't look to Tamlin, who remained silent and brooding. "I managed to contact him a few days ago. Asked him to send samples. He did, and did not tell you," she added quickly to Resand, "because he did not want to raise your hopes. Not until I'd found a solution."
No wonder he'd been so eager to head alone into Valaris that day he'd gone to help us research. I shot a look at Rhys. Seems like Lucian can still play the fox.
Rhys didn't look at me, though his lips twitched as he replied,
"Indeed."
Nuan went on.
The Mother has provided us with everything we need on this earth. So it has been a matter of finding what, exactly, she gave us in Prithian to combat a material from Highburn capable of wiping out our powers. Helion shifted with impatience, that glistening white fabric slipping over his muscled chest. Theson read that impatience, too, and said,
Nuon has been able to quickly create a powder for us to ingest in drink, food, however you please. It grants immunity from the Feybane. I already have workers in 3 of my cities manufacturing as much of it as possible to hand out to our unified armies.
Even Rhys seemed impressed at the stealth, the unveiling.
I'm surprised you didn't have a grand reveal of your own today, I quipped down the bond.
Cruel, beautiful High Lady, he purred, eyes twinkling.
Tarquin asked,
But what of physical objects made from Feybane? They possessed gauntlets at the battle to smash through shields.
He jerked his chin to Rhys.
And when they attacked your own city.
Against that, Nuon said, you only have your wits to protect you. She did not break Tarquin's stare, and he straightened, as if surprised she did so. The compound I've made will only protect you, your powers, from being rendered void by the Feybane. Perhaps if you are pierced with a weapon tipped in Feybane, having the compound in your system will negate its impact. Quiet fell. Baron said,
And we're supposed to trust you?
A look at Theson, then at Nuon.
With this substance we're to blindly ingest?
Would you rather face Highburn without any power?
Theson demanded.
My master alchemists and tinkerers are no fools.
No,
Baron said, frowning.
But where did she come from? Who are you?
The last bit directed at Nuon. I am the daughter of 2 High Fae from Xi'an, who moved here to give their children a better life, if that is what you are demanding to know. Nuon answered tightly. Helion demanded of Baron,
What does this have to do with anything?
Baron shrugged.
If her family is from Xi'an, which I'll have you remember fought for the Loyalists, then whose interests does she serve?
Helion's amber eyes flashed. Theson cut in sharply,
I will have you remember, Baron, that my own mother hailed from Xi'an, and a large majority of my court did as well. Be careful what you say.
Before Baron could hiss a retort, Nuon said to the Lord of Autumn, her chin high, I am a child of Prithian. I was born here on this land, as your sons were. Baron's face darkened.
Watch your tone, girl.
She doesn't have to watch anything, I cut in. Not when you fling that sort of horseshit at her.
I looked to the alchemist. I will take your antidote. Baron rolled his eyes, but Eris said,
Father.
Baron lifted a brow.
You have something to add?
Eris didn't flinch, but he seemed to choose his words very, very carefully.
I have seen the effects of Feybane.
He nodded toward me.
It truly renders us unable to tap our power. If it's wielded against us in war or beyond it. If it is, we shall face it. I will not risk my people or family in testing out a theory.
It is no theory, Nuon said, that mechanical hand clicking and whirring as it curled into a fist. I would not stand here unless it had been proven without a doubt. A female of pride and hard work. Eris said,
I will take it.
It was the most dissent I'd ever heard him sound. Even more blinked at it. Baron studied his son with a scrutiny that made some small, small part of me wonder if Eris might have grown to be a good male if he'd had a different father.
if one still lurked there, beneath centuries of poison. Because Eris. What had it been like for him under the mountain? What games had he played? What had he endured? Trapped for 49 years. I doubted he would risk such a thing happening again, even if it set him in opposition to his father. Or perhaps because of that. Theron only said,
"No, you will not. Though I'm sure your brothers will be sorry to hear it."
Indeed, the others seemed rather put out that their first barrier to the throne wasn't about to risk his life in testing Nuan's solution. Rhys said simply,
"Then don't take it. I will. My entire court will. As will my armies."
He gave a thankful nod to Nuan. Theson did the same, in thanks and dismissal, and the Master Tinkerer bowed once more and left.
"At least you have armies to give it to,"
Tamlin said mildly, breaking his roiling silence. A smile at me.
"Though perhaps that was part of the plan. Disable my force while your own swept in. Or was it just to see my people suffer?"
A headache was beginning to pound at my right temple. Those claws poked through his knuckles again.
"Surely you knew that when you turned my forces on me, it would leave my people defenseless against Highburn."
I said nothing, even as I blocked the images from my mind.
"You primed my court to fall,"
Tamlin said with venomous quiet.
"And it did. Those villages you wanted so badly to help rebuild, they're nothing more than cinders now."
I shut out that too. He'd said they'd remain untouched. That Highburn had promised.
"And while you've been making antidotes and casting yourselves as saviors, I've been piecing together my forces, regaining their trust, their numbers, trying to gather my people in the east, where Highburn has not yet marched."
Nesta said dryly,
"So you won't be taking the antidote then?"
Tamlin ignored her, even as his claws sank into the arm of his chair. But I believed him. That he'd moved as many of his people as he could to the eastern edge of the territory. He'd said as much long before I'd returned home. Theson cleared his throat and said to Helion,
"You said you had 2 suggestions based on the information you analyzed."
Helion shrugged, the sun catching in the embroidered gold thread of his tunic.
"Indeed, though it seems Tamlin is already ahead of me. The Spring Court must be evacuated."
His amber eyes darted between Tarquin and Baron.
"Surely your northern neighbors will welcome them?"
Baron's lip curled.
"We do not have the resources for such a thing."
"Right," Vivian said. "Because everyone's too busy polishing every jewel in that trove of yours." Baron threw her a glare that had Kalias tensing.
"Wives were invited as a courtesy, not as consultants."
Vivian's sapphire eyes flared as if struck by lightning.
"If this war goes poorly, we'll be bleeding out right alongside you, so I think we damn well get a say in things."
"Highburn will do far worse things than kill you,"
Baron countered coolly.
"A young, pretty thing like you especially."
Kalias's snarl rippled the water in the reflection pool, echoed by Moore's own growl. Baron smiled a bit.
"Only 3 of us were present for the last war."
A nod to Rhys and Helion, whose face darkened.
"One does not easily forget what Highburn and the Loyalists did to captured females in their war camps. What they reserved for high fey females who either fought for the humans or had families who did."
He put a heavy hand on his wife's too thin arm.
"Her 2 sisters bought her time to run when Highburn's forces ambushed their lands. The 2 ladies did not walk out of that war camp again."
Helion was watching Baron closely, his stare simmering with reproach. The Lady of the Autumn Court kept her focus on the reflection pool.
Any trace of color drained from her face. Dagdan and Branna flashed through my mind, along with the corpses of those humans. What they'd done to them, before and after they died.
We will take your people.
Tarquin cut in quietly to Tamlin. Regardless of your involvement with Hybern, your people are innocent. There is plenty of room in my territory. We will take all of them, if need be. A curt nod was Tamlin's only acknowledgement and gratitude. Baron said,
So the seasonal courts are to become the charnel houses and hostels, while the solar courts remain pristine here in the north?
Hybern has focused its efforts on the southern half, Rhys said, to be close to the wall and human lands. At this, Nesta and I exchanged looks. Rhys went on.
Why bother to go through the northern climes, through fairy territories on the continent, when you could claim the south and use it to go directly to the human lands of the continent?
Thiessen asked,
And you believe the human armies there will bow to Hybern?
Its queens sold us out, Nesta said.
She lifted her chin, poised as any emissary.
For the gift of immortality, the human queens will allow Hybern in to sweep away any resistance. They might very well hand over control of their armies to him.
Nesta looked to me, to Rhys.
Where do the humans on our island go? We cannot evacuate them to the continent, and with the wall intact, many might rather risk waiting than cross over the wall anyway.
The fate of the humans below the wall,
Baron cut in,
is none of our concern, especially in a spit of land with no queen, no army.
It is my concern, I said, and the voice that came out of me was not Feyre the Huntress or Feyre the Cursebreaker, but Feyre the High Lady.
Humans are nearly defenseless against our kind.
So go waste your own soldiers defending them,
Baron said.
I will not send my own forces to protect chattel.
My blood heated, and I took a breath to cool it, to cool the magic crackling at the insult. It did nothing. If it was this impossible to get all of them to ally against Hybern...
You're a coward, I breathed to the High Lord of Autumn. Even Rhys tensed.
Baron just said,
The same could be claimed of you.
My stomach churned. I don't need to explain myself to you.
No, but perhaps to that girl's family. But they're dead too, aren't they? Butchered and burned to death in their own beds. Funny that you should now seek to defend humans, when you are all too happy to offer them up to save yourself.
My palms heated, as if twin suns built and swirled beneath them.
Easy, Rhys purred. He's a cranky old bastard.
But I could barely hear the words behind the tangle of images. Claire's mutilated body nailed to the wall. The cinders of the bedder's house staining the snow like wisps of shadow. The smile of the adder as it hauled me through those stone halls under the mountain.
As my lady said,
Rhys drawled,
She does not need to explain herself to you.
Baron leaned back in his chair.
Then I suppose I don't need to explain my motivations either.
Rhys lifted a brow.
Your staggering generosity aside, will you be joining our forces? I have not yet decided.
Eris went so far as to give his father a look bordering on reproach. From genuine alarm, or for what that refusal might mean for our own covert alliance, I couldn't tell.
Armies take time to raise,
Cassian said.
You don't have the luxury of sitting on your ass. You need to rally your soldiers now.
Baron only sneered.
I don't take orders from the bastards of lesser fey whores.
My heartbeat was so wild I could hear it in every corner of my body.
feel it pounding in my arms, my gut. But it was nothing compared to the wrath on Cassian's face, or the icy rage on Azriel's and Rhys's, and the disgust on Moore's.
"That bastard," Nesta said with utter coolness, though her eyes began to burn, "may wind up being the only person standing in the way of Highburn's forces and your people."
She didn't so much as look at Cassian as she said it, but he stared at her, as if he'd never seen her before. This argument was pointless, and I didn't care who they were or who I was as I said to Baron, "Get out if you're not going to be helpful." At his side, Aerys had the wits to actually look worried, but Baron continued to ignore his son's pointed stare and hissed at me.
"Did you know that while your mate was warming Amarantha's bed, most of our people were locked beneath that mountain?"
I didn't deign responding.
"Did you know that while he had his head between her legs, most of us were fighting to keep our families from becoming the nightly entertainment?"
I tried to shut out the images, the blinding fury at what had been done, what he'd done to keep Amarantha distracted. The secrets he still kept from shame or disinterest in sharing, I didn't know. Cassian was now trembling 2 seats down, with restraint. And Rhys said nothing. Tarquin murmured,
"That's enough, Baron."
Tarquin, who had guessed at Rhysand's sacrifice, his motives. Baron ignored him.
"And now Rhysand wants to play hero. Amarantha's whore becomes Highburn's destroyer. But if it goes badly..."
A cruel, cold smile.
"Will he get on his knees for Highburn? Or just spread his..."
I stopped hearing the words. Stopped hearing anything other than my heart, my breathing. Fire exploded out of me. Raging, white-hot flame that blasted into Baron like a lance.
Chapter 46. Baron shielded barely fast enough to block me, but the wake singed Aerys's arm right through the cloth, and the pale lovely arm of Lucian's mother. The others shouted, shooting to their feet, but I couldn't think. Couldn't hear anything but Aerys's words. See those moments under the mountain. See that nightmare of Amarantha leading Rhys down the hall. What Rhys had endured.
"Feyre."
I ignored it as I stood, and sent a wave of water from the reflection pond to encircle Baron and his chair. A bubble without air. Flame pounded against it, turning water to steam, but I pushed harder. I'd kill him. Kill him and gladly be done with it.
"Feyre."
I couldn't tell if Rhysand was yelling it, if he was murmuring it down the bond. Maybe both. Baron's flame barrier slammed into my water, hard enough that ripples began to form, steam hissing among them. So I bared my teeth and sent a fist of white light punching into that fiery shield. The white light of day. Spellbreaker. Ward cleaver. Baron's eyes widened as his shields began to fray, as that water pushed in. Then hands were on my face, and violet eyes were before mine, calm and yet insistent.
"You've proved your point, my love,"
Rhys said.
"Kill him, and that horrible Aerys will take his place."
"Then I'll kill all of them."
"As interesting an experiment as that might be,"
Rhys crooned,
"it would only complicate the matters at hand."
Into my mind, he whispered,
"I love you.
The words of that hateful bastard don't mean anything. He has nothing of joy in this life, nothing good. We do." I began to hear things. The trickling water of the pool, the crackle of flames, the quick breathing of those around us, the cursing of Baron trapped in that tightening cocoon of light and water.
I love you,
Rhys said again, and I let go of my magic.
Baron's flames exploded like an unfurling flower and bounced harmlessly off the shield.